welcome everyone to another edition of Renegade Radio. I'm your host, Andy Lowe, and as always, we're brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. We got another exciting show for you guys today, and today we're going to be talking cellular. Everybody out there's got some type of cellular device, smartphone, iPad, something that you're carrying around and you're using for communication, and we're going to talk a little bit about those devices, how to protect them. Here's a new one, how to repair them. And then, of course, we're going to, as always, be talking about the business side of things, because here at Renegade Radio, we're all about breaking the rules of conventional thinking, and I've got some guests today that are going to tell us exactly how they're doing that in their businesses, and you're going to stay tuned and hear it. So without further ado, let me introduce who's going to be here today. We've got Joel Quinn. He's from Bob Knows Phones. He's the managing partner over there. Also joined by Kevin Bennett and Harrison Funk from Open Loop Investments, and they are currently involved with Zag, which is an invisible shield for your phone, and we'll learn more about that. So, gentlemen, welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Joel, let me start with you. So, first off, I got to start right out of the gate. I got to ask the question, how does a guy named Joel get involved in a business called Bob Knows Phones?
Well, when we first put the business idea together in the latter part of 2010, we were looking for a concept and a character that would relate well to customers. And we were looking for a person to be sort of the mascot for our business and would relate our concepts of customer service and engineering expertise. And we were looking around for a template of a person, and the person behind this as far as the template is Norm Abrams from the PBS television show, The Master Carpenter. And we were also looking for a name that a customer could easily remember to spell. So that's really a major marketing reason for picking a name such as this, because in the roughly 18 months that we've been in business, we have yet to spell the domain to anyone on the phone. BobKnowsPhones.com. Everyone knows how to spell Bob.
You know, that's funny that you bring that up, because that is important. I mean, when you're going to market and you're going to brand, you want something that's easy to remember. And I hear people all the time that have names that phonetically could go a couple of different ways, and they always end up having to spell out the name.
Indeed. And at least daily I hear someone on the radio with a commercial, and they stop and they then spell out their domain name. It consumes valuable advertising time.
And if your competitor's smart, he's going to buy the domain that's phonetically different than yours and pull your business in, right?
Possibly.
So if you go simple, you don't have to worry about that.
That is indeed correct. Right. And the follow-up to that is the character of Bob, with a retired engineer with a very strong source of customer service. And we've built an entire character around Bob and his family, and Bob has a dog. And it's taken off well with customers, with the 80 or so reviews that we have on the internet right now. People feel like they have a relationship with us, which is encapsulated by the name Bob.
Now, you and I were chatting just before the show, and you know, I was looking at what you do, and it's cell phone repair. You fix mm-hmm. broken cell phones.
Yes.
And when we talk about things that are renegade concepts, things that are outside of the conventional norm, in my mind, this is very much against the norm, because if my cell phone breaks, I'm going to take it to my carrier. I'm going to go to a local store where I bought the phone from, whoever my service provider is, and I'm going to ask them to probably replace my phone. Hopefully I've got the insurance or warranty or something, but you're saying there's a better way. Tell us about that.
Yes, the standard business model right now in the cell phone world is to build the entire delivery from the carrier around a contract. And so when you go to buy a phone, whether it be an iPhone or a Droid cell phone, you get somewhat of a discounted price, $100, $200, $300 in some instances, in conjunction with a 24-month contract is typical in the industry. And the carriers really don't particularly care about the device itself. And so when the customer has some type of a bad problem, drops the phone, breaks it, drops it in the toilet, things of that variety, their only real answer is buy a phone at complete price, which the real retail price for a cell phone is $600, $700, $800.
They're way up the charts, right?
It's way up if you buy the phone by itself. Possibly some discount based on where you are in the contract, or any mix of those, plus extending your contract another 2 years.
I was going to say, extending the contract's the big one I always hear. Like, yeah, we can get you back in the phone, but, you know, I know you're, you know, 6 months from being out of this thing, but let's go ahead and lock you back in for 2 years.
And there really seemed to be, in my research, from both personal experience and in preparation for launching this business, there seems to be very few rules that the carriers follow on what discount you have available, the contract recycle. Literally, I've walked into places to ask questions, and they see what type of shoes I have on before they decide what type of offer they're going to give me. It's offensive. And if you compare prices for repairing a phone versus the full loaded price of a new contract and possible new pricing for a replacement phone, in many instances, repairing it is 20% the cost of going that route.
Well, let's talk about that. What are some of the most common repair issues that people experience, and what kind of money are you laying out to get something like that fixed?
About 40% of the current repairs are for some variety of screen breakage. And the other 60% ranges anything from water damage to a variety of buttons, breaking, microphones, speakers, things of that variety. Items that just happen in the normal use of a cell phone that's not covered on any type of manufacturer warranty.
Yeah, I think water damage is probably the one that I've experienced the most, and not so much from dropping it in water, but just some of the heat and cold changes that we have around here. Condensation, actually, is very easy to get into a phone and turn that little white piece of paper on the battery or the phone itself red, which is the kiss of death, right?
It's at least at the point where it needs to be pulled apart and be cleaned. Unless you're going to carry it around in a baggie all the time, there's oftentimes some water damage that shows up as you use the phone. We have customers coming into the shop all the time, typically teenage girls that report that they dropped their phone in a bucket of water. It's amazing how many buckets of water there are sitting in people's homes around Atlanta. And we have a 70-80% recovery rate where our techs go into the phone, do a full cleaning, do some minor replacements of parts, and have the phone back up and running so that the contacts and photos are available for the customer to use.
Well, you've kind of seen it all. Dropping it in a bucket of water is more normal, but you've had some other things that has been dropped in. Is that right?
We've based an entire series of advertisements and posters around Bob helping customers with odd problems. A range of issues that people report. One of these is, I dropped my phone in a pot of grits on the stove, and that was successful. We had an instance where someone had shipped their phone in from Alaska, and they had dropped their phone over the side of the boat into a river when they were out vacationing. To hear that and talk to the person later on, apparently there were way out in the middle of the wilderness. So we recovered everything that was needed off from that phone. Other instances, dogs, that seems to be a common problem people have. Dog, both the teeth and the slobber from the dog, both of those are bad for cell phones. Probably a couple, three times a month, people walk into one of our two shops with report that they left their phone on the top of the car, drove away, and at least two people over the past year and a half then backed up and drove over their phone. So that was bad. Falling off the car was bad enough, but then driving over the phone was even worse.
At what point does it really become smarter to replace your phone versus fix it? I mean, how do you know that you've gone too far?
Well, that's a very good question, and this ties into our focus on customer service with our customers. And our techs always stress in our planning for how we deal with our customers that we tell the customers whether this is a cost-effective repair to do or not. At a certain point, given an age or cost for the repair, it's definitely better to go buy a new phone.
Gotcha. Now, how do people find out about you? How are you getting the word out to let people know that there is a better way and keep them from just going down to their local carrier and dealing with whatever onslaught of repair or contract extension they may deal with?
Our primary source right now with our where we are in the development of this business is simply online advertising, search engine presence. We're doing very well locally and nationally for someone that searches for iPhone repair relative to where they are close to the shop.
So I can get my phone into you either by coming into a local store or I can mail it in as well.
You can, and we do receive quite a few mail-in repairs from around the country. Actually, we've received some from outside the country at this point.
Well, let's do this. If somebody has a phone that they're interested in finding out if they can get a repair job done on it or they want to come visit your store, how would they go about getting in contact with you, webpage, phone number, store locations, et cetera?
Best thing to do is to go to our website, Bob Knows Phones, which I do not have to spell, and that has all the contact information on the website. And our current two shops that we have in the Atlanta metro area is in Buckhead and also in Conyers, with two more coming soon in the south side and two coming soon within the next 4 months on the north side.
All right. Well, I want to come back to you, Joel, because I know you've got some good information to share with us today about starting a business, why you chose this market space, and some of the things going on. Can you hang out with us for a few minutes, and let me visit with Kevin and Harrison here, and then we'll rejoin the conversation?
Be glad to.
Fantastic. So, Kevin Harrison. First off, Harrison, I got to start off with you, man. I love your last name. I wish my family name was Funk. I mean, there's just something really cool about that. I mean, how do you live with that? How do you carry that weight? Because that's got to be a burden, right? I mean, you got to be cool to walk around with the last name Funk.
Oh no, I pride myself on my last name. It's the best. No, I hand my credit card to people all the time, and they're like, "Holy cow, your last name is Funk. That's awesome." So I love my last name. It's a lot of it starts conversations, which is good. But yeah.
All right, good. Well, Kevin Harrison, I want to welcome you guys to the show. Now, you guys are with Open Loop Investments, and as that, you are a ZAG authorized dealer. And so, for the people that don't know, because I know, because I'm sitting here looking at my phone right now, which has a fully installed ZAG shield, which, by the way, Harrison did a fantastic job of putting on my phone. But tell for the people out there that don't know, what is the ZAG Invisible Shield?
So, the ZAG Invisible Shield is a military-grade polyurethane film that we install on cell phones. And the edge here is that, unlike a lot of screen protectors that you see, the ZAG Invisible Shield is designed to be permanent. So when we install it, it doesn't bubble, it doesn't peel. It's designed to really look good and to really look like your screen. It's 0.2 millimeter thick, so it's extremely thin. And the edge here is that we can not only protect the screen, but we can also protect the entire phone. So back to the point of the investment people make in their phones these days, you know, $600-$700 in some cases, to spend about $35 to get full body protection protects not only the front, but the back and the sides as well. And we do a lot of full body installations at our locations.
Yeah, I found it interesting. When I was shopping for a screensaver, one thing that I noticed is that most all of the other screensavers out there that I was running across sold 2 or 3 screensavers to a pack, which basically says, I'm not going to last. I'm going to bubble. I'm going to tear. I'm going to do something. You're going to have to replace me.
Right.
And they wanted double or triple as much money as I paid for my ZAG shield. But ZAG comes as a one, because if it's done right and it's installed by the guys who know what they're doing, it should last, right?
Well, the reason they sell you a 3-pack, first of all, is you're going to mess up the first one, right?
Because I'm going to install it myself.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, so the second and third one really are just, you know, the second one you're getting on there, fine. It's going to get scratched. It's going to peel. It's going to bubble. And nobody likes that. Then you have to buy, you know, then you have to use the other one. And then you have to go buy another 3-pack. So what the purpose is with the Invisible Shield, first of all, it's military-grade protection. It's not just plastic. It's polyurethane. So the ones that come in the 3-pack are just plastic. So they're really cheap. They scratch easily. First of all, the Invisible Shield doesn't scratch. It doesn't peel. It doesn't bubble. If it does any of those things, you just bring it back to one of our locations. We'll give you a new one.
Yeah, it survived the test of my 16-month-old, and that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So tell me this. Tell us about the full body protection. I mean, when we think screen savers, we think front of the phone, but how does this technology protect the rest of my phone?
Well, the one of the unique things about polyurethane is it's very pliable. And because it's pliable and the material itself is actually engineered with a special adhesive that allows it to stay on the phone through day-to-day use without bubbling and peeling. So all of our invisible shields are precision laser cut for the different types of cell phones and tablets and personal electronics out there. So because it's a polyurethane, it will actually shape to your phone. A plastic is going to have a really hard time bending and actually adhering to the contours of your phone, but because of this polyurethane, we're actually able to cover the phone, and it actually wraps around your phone without any peeling or bubbling, which is a unique approach.
Go ahead, Harrison.
Well, and the purpose of the full body really is for people who don't like cases, you know.
Because they're bulky.
They are bulky, yeah, and they don't offer as much protection as you think they do. So a lot of our customers, you know, sometimes our customers will come in and they will say, you know, they will specifically want, you know, the full body coverage because they don't like the cases. And it provides, you know, good protection for a lot of people, because most people don't drop their phone on a regular basis. Now, if you do drop your phone on a regular basis, you may need a case, right? But if you find that you hold on to your device pretty well, but you just don't want it to get scratched and you want it to stay looking new its entire life, that's what the full body coverage is for.
So what are some of the other accessories you guys provide? I mean, obviously you sell more than just the shield. What are some of the other things that Zag can do to accessorize my phone, protect my phone, or just make my overall mobile experience better?
Yeah, so that's, you actually just hit the nail right on the head. Zag is all about enhancing the mobile experience. So rather than just protecting your phone from scratches, we also sell power, audio, and cleaning products that really enhance the experience. So, for example, we have a full line of audio products, which are excellent quality noise-canceling headphones. Some of them with integrated microphones that allow you to replace the ones that you might get with your phone when you buy it. We also sell a line of power accessories, which would be mobile charging products, things that are USB-based, so that whether you're in your car or whether you're in a, at a campsite, if you need power, you're going to have it. And then finally, we also have a line of cleaning products, because we find that just as much as people love to keep their phones scratch-free, they also like to keep smudges and grime and all sorts of stuff off of their phone. So we've got some products that actually really help them keep their phone looking like new, even with an invisible shield installed on it. So it really is that whole package. We're there to not just help keep scratches off of people's phones, but to really enhance their whole mobile experience.
So now, speaking of that, what type of protection or guarantee do I have going forward? I mean, are your products warranted? Do I have something that says, hey, you know, this thing, if you do what you're supposed to do, you know, it's going to be fine. If it screws up, it's not your fault, it's ours. How does that work?
Well, I mean, like we said, you know, we give customers a lifetime warranty with our invisible shield. Because we believe in it so much, you know, if it gets scratched, if it gets bubbled, you know, if it peels, just bring it back to one of our locations and we'll fix it for free for the lifetime of your device. So, you know, and our customers like that because, you know, they use their phones all the time and they're not wanting to go buy new protection every time it, you know, gets scratched or something like that. So that's why we give you a lifetime warranty with our products, with our invisible shield products. And then our power accessories are all covered by a 1-year warranty. So, you know, if your power accessory, you know, fails within the first year, bring it back and we'll fix it for you.
Now, it's important to mention the professional piece of this. I guess it's like installation, for example. You know, I mean, I could have ordered a Zag Invisible Shield online, I guess, and gotten it that way. But I would have missed a critical element because, again, you guys put it on for me. Can you talk a little bit about that process and why is it important to have somebody, or maybe even what the process is,
sure,
behind putting something like this on the phone so that it does last a lifetime?
Well, it's a great question. Zag does sell quite a number of their products online. They're in 150 malls across the country, so there are licensed installation centers all over the United States, Canada, Puerto Rico. The interesting thing about the Invisible Shield is that the mall retailers are the only ones who are flown to the Zag headquarters and trained to actually install the product. They may sell products online, they may sell them through other retailers, but it's the mall installations are the ones that are, we actually went to Zag's headquarters in Salt Lake City and were trained by Zag people on how to do the installs. It's very similar to window tinting, if you've ever seen that done. So it's a wet process that we do, where you apply a solution to the phone or the tablet. You lay down the invisible shield and then squeegee out the bubbles and let it dry. We've got a whole process that we do at our stations. We're also a warranty center, so when people come back, as Harrison pointed out, to replace an old shield or one that's got a heavy scratch in it or something like that, they can get that done at our location, and we handle the warranty for them as well.
And by the way, that installation process is not easy. So that's really what our value is as a mall location, because, you know, you're buying the invisible shield, but if you install it yourself, you know, there's a high chance that you're going to mess it up. So really what we're there for is to service the customers with the installation. That way you're going to have a perfect experience with it. You know, it's going to look more like your actual glass on your phone, and you're going to enjoy having it, because a lot of people hate screen protectors because of their experience with them as far as installation goes. So, you know, we're there, we provide perfect installations every time, and if they're not good, you know, bring it back and we'll fix it for you.
So. Well, see, that's a tricky piece, Harrison, because I watched you install mine and you made it look easy, right? You made me think, oh, I could have done that, but obviously you've had the training and so it's a little different deal.
Yeah. We spent so long, you know, learning how to do it, and it does look easy once you get going and you know what to do. But, you know, I've watched people, you know, try it themselves their first time, and it doesn't work out. So, you know, when you buy a screen protector, you know, first of all, make sure it's an invisible shield, and second, you know, make sure you if you buy it from somewhere else, bring it to one of our locations, and we'll professionally install it.
Yeah, and Andy, we want to invite you to come out and hang out with us one Saturday afternoon, and we'll let you do a couple of installs and see see how you do.
Are you going to warranty my installs? Because they might be bringing those back.
Yeah, we'll work something out.
Well, great. Well, let's talk about where you can hang out with you guys on a Saturday afternoon. If somebody's looking to get a shield for their phone, looking for that ultimate in protection, where can they find you guys?
So we're located in Lawrenceville in Discover Mills Mall, which is right outside of Neiman Marcus and Zales. And then we just opened at Cumberland Mall last month on March 15th, and we're upstairs outside of Macy's. So come see us at either of those two locations.
Excellent. Well, if I can, I'd like to bring Joel back into the conversation now, and let's talk business. I mean, you guys are both small business operators. You saw a niche in the market. You decided to plug into it. Joel, you started something on your own. Kevin Harrison, you guys chose to plug into more of a franchise model, but let's explore that for our listeners, because we've got a lot of business people out there that are already in their own business or contemplating getting into a business. What are some of the things they need to know? What are some of the lessons maybe you guys learned along the way?
I think the biggest point to learn that I learned real early was make sure you're making a profit in your business. Peter Drucker's first rule of customer service is make sure you stay in business. And that's what I've tried to follow for many, many years. As focused as all the businesses that I have started and run over the years has been on customer service, if you don't stay in business, you can't take care of your customers. And whether you're dealing with an individual product and what your margins are on that particular item, or dealing with making sure that your internal costs are kept to the absolute minimum, the bottom line is to make a good, healthy return for the owner, investors, so that you can stay in business and continue on to the next year.
That's a really important point. I want to throw that back over to you guys from Zag here, because if you think about it, when you offer a lifetime warranty on something, and we've all heard that before, the first concern that pops in my brain is, will these guys be around for a lifetime? Well, I mean, was that important in your consideration when picking this particular franchise to build off of?
Well, yeah, it is, because people, you know, people will even, you know, kind of make fun of that when you're selling them on an invisible shield, because they think, you know, well, you know, how do I know you guys will be around? You know, first of all, because we're a mall kiosk, so people are like, you know, you guys will be gone next week, so how do I know that y'all will be here for a lifetime?
Right.
You know, but first of all, your phone only lasts probably about 2 years, so, you know, even though we say lifetime warranty, you know, your phone will wear out, you'll go get a new phone, and you know, obviously, we want you to have a good experience with your invisible shield, so you'll come back. But yeah, we're here for the long haul. And you know, when we set up a kiosk, we're in a long term lease with our mall, so we're there to stay, and we're there to, you know, build fans and build customers and provide that good customer service.
I'm gonna take a shot at this and see if I remember the number correctly. I had someone on a show not long ago from the cell phone accessories arena, and I'm going to probably misquote this, so I'll have to go back and listen to my own show to remember the number. But I want to say they said that the cell phone accessory market was somewhere around the $50 billion mark is what they were forecasting the growth to be in that area. Does that sound right?
It's up to $63 billion now.
$63 now. Yeah. So maybe the forecast was $80 then. Maybe I was thinking 50, 80-ish, somewhere in that range. So $63 is the current accessory market.
Sure.
Wow. And then, of course, Joel, I guess repair would play right into that, wouldn't it?
Yes. This is a new enough business niche that no one really has any good growth forecast, but I'll be very happy if we come in at half that.
So what's your plan? Are you gonna stay in the local market for a while? Do you have plans to expand this on a national level, franchise it? What's the future of Bob Knows Phones?
We're going through at least two different growth phases right now. We practiced the business model for an initial 12 months through 2011 to make sure that we could deal with the basics of dealing with our parts vendors, providing good customer service, making sure that we could repair the phones successfully to match our original business model specs. And the answer to that was yes, we could do all those things acceptably. And we have just in the past 2 months started our next real round of growth, and that's ramping up to where we can build one new shop a month. And we'll be doing that through Atlanta, probably towards the end of the year, based upon which direction we want to go in the metro area. And following that, we will extend out from Atlanta. The business model that we're working under is covering between 75 and 100 shops nationally over the next about 40 months. That's what we're working with.
So one of the biggest challenges in running a business is really getting it off the ground. Maybe you can share, Kevin Harrison, what were some of the challenges you guys hit year one in trying to get your kiosk business off the ground and really make a statement here in Atlanta for who InvisiShield is?
Yeah, so I think probably some of the challenges that we saw as small business owners were centered around really kind of getting the right team in place, getting the right products, and then the right location in the mall was key. I mean, you always hear in retail, location is everything. We saw some of that. We learned a lot of lessons in that first year around how to market and position our products so that when people come into the mall that they, you know, we get the best experience. But then also having the right team in place and making sure that we're really training and getting behind our folks and that they're really working hard to get Invisible Shields on every phone that they can.
That's a really key point. And I just want to compliment your company for that, because if you remember our first engagement, the young lady I spoke with at your booth when I first walked up, I had some questions, I had some concerns, I had some wants, and I was really impressed that she didn't take a I can't attitude with me. She really worked for a how can I make this happen? How can I get this guy to be a customer, and how can I satisfy what he's here for? And I think if you remember, I pointed that out to you.
I'm like, she's a
tremendous asset on the team.
Yep.
Very impressed with my first experience.
Well, great. And, you know, I remember your first experience when you came in that day, and I thought, this is a tough customer. You know, a lot of people just walk up to our booth, they know about Zag, or they're just intrigued by the video or something that really catches, and they say, I want that. But I remember you, we really had to sell you on the product and had to work hard to come to a deal, so we appreciate that.
The team did an excellent job, though. You know, Joel, maybe you can address the same thing. How do you build that right team? How did you select the right people to really get this thing going?
I would like to say that it was with tremendous quality planning and foresight. However, the answer is it's luck and a lot of interviews and building good long-term relationships. And regardless of plans for a good product, plans for and ability to deliver good customer service, without the correct people in-house working on the business, it will all fail. And we have a tremendously accomplished and long-term team in our group in order to deliver on our plans. And it's simply knowing people and figuring out what their skills are as you go to work with them over the long term.
So, Harrison, I want to ask you a question because you're a young guy. I mean, you know, and I'm making an assumption based on looks here, but clearly you're not at the age level that myself has reached. As a young entrepreneur, what have been some of the specific challenges maybe you faced in stepping into what a lot of people think is, I don't know, maybe a world that's cut out for people that have already made it in life and they're looking for that second career?
Yeah. Well, you know, first, I made a goal to myself when I was probably about 12. You know, I said, you know, it would be really cool if I never had to work for anybody. You know, if I could only work for myself, that would be awesome. And so, you know, my parents and then my grandfather as well, they've kind of always been salespeople. My mom's always been a salesperson. And so at a young age, I started my first business. You know, I just kind of I started buying and selling sailboats, which was a little, you know, niche market that I found.
And we're not talking about little toy boats. We're talking about real sailboats.
Yeah, we're talking about real sailboats. And, you know, I always enjoyed working for myself. And I enjoyed, you know, talking to customers and talking to, you know, people well above my age. And, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, quit before they should. And, you know, they never set themselves up to... you know, to believe in themselves, I guess you could say. And so I've kind of never really taken, you know, the thought process that you shouldn't do something because of your age. When I met Kevin, you know, he was kind of, you know, looking for an investment opportunity right at the time that, you know, I was kind of looking for something cool to do. And so that's kind of where Zag came from. And it just seemed like a good opportunity to jump into, and so that's where we're at right now. So.
Now, Kevin, you kind of took a different role. So instead of, you know, having taken the route of, hey, I never want to work for anybody else, I want to do my own thing, you actually have taken the path of more the corporate role, and now you're branching out because your goal is to migrate out of that corporate world and have your own business or businesses going forward. Tell us about that thought process.
Right, so... I'm an empty nester. My kids are grown, and just found in the last year that I'm have got a little extra time on my hands and a little bit more appetite for risk than I did when they were little. And Harrison and I had gotten to know each other at church. We actually attend church together. We play in a band together. Just had really gotten to know each other pretty well. I knew he was a young entrepreneur, and I also, it's like all the stars kind of lined up for me to get in that position to say, I've been in corporate America in IT for about 20 years, and have got a lot of experience at just, you know, what it takes to run a to work to survive and thrive in corporate America. Harrison is sort of an up-and-coming young entrepreneur. He's got a lot of availability, a lot of drive and passion, and a lot of maturity that you don't see in younger, in a lot of kids his age. He's 18. I'll go ahead and put that out there, so just in case all your listeners want to know. But it really, that's part of our angle, is it worked out to be a really good niche for us, to meet, for me bringing the corporate background to our business, and Harrison bringing sort of that young, fresh availability. Plus, he's got some great ideas around how we market and you know, get our products out there. So it's really a great combination for us to build a business on.
I like it. Joel, how did it happen for you? I mean, you were an entrepreneur all along, or did you take a corporate path and then one day kind of say, I got to get out of this, or what happened?
No, I sort of took the same path Harrison did, except I'm a little bit older than he is. probably sometime in late teenage, early 20s at least, decided I didn't want to have a job. So I've never had a full-time job, at least. There have been businesses that required a part-time job, a future warning for you. Sometimes businesses don't quite make the money you think that they will. But over the past 25, 30 years, I've had a range of businesses, have started. Many of them have been successful. A few have not. Nothing terribly catastrophic to this point, though, luckily. And that goes to a point back to our earlier team discussion, and that is people that I have collected in my group. I like people who are older and have failed and are still in business. That means they typically have learned things that are extremely valuable. The people who have been in business or anything in life and have failed and then stopped, those are people that I don't necessarily want around because they haven't learned from their mistakes and they can bring their expertise to our group.
Well, maybe that's just something to point out. I mean, you don't have to give specifics, but you know, even Harrison at 18, I'm sure that you've all felt that pinch of failure somewhere along the line. How do you deal with that? I mean, most people, when they fail, that's a bad thing. And it's, you know, the conventional wisdom is, well, you didn't cut it, so you need to go back to the safe path. What would you say to those people?
Well, I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs or people that want to be entrepreneurs, that's what they fear most is failure. But, you know, a true entrepreneur would say, you know, maybe failure is what keeps you going. Because, you know, as you fail, you know, I'm sure you learn. And I haven't, you know, failed a lot in business yet. I'm sure I will. And that's fine with me because I know it'll be a good learning, you know, process. And so I don't think, you know, that kind of separates the true entrepreneurs from the people who just want to be entrepreneurs. You know, if you can fail and keep going, that's a good sign that you're in it for the long
term. And I have 2 points about that. One is that reverting to a safe path is an illusion. There is no safe path. In fact, in my perspective, a corporate job is less safe than entrepreneurism, having a business yourself. You have more control over your destiny. The second point is, how do you deal with failure? A salesperson I worked with many, many years ago had this really succinct piece of advice, and that is, have a funeral for your failure. Do it, get it over with, walk out, and move on to the next item.
I like that. A funeral for your failure. Maybe we'll start a business where we do that. We'll just, when your business fails, we'll have a funeral for it. You can put it to rest and you can move on with the next idea. It could be a great startup group. I like thinking there. So let me ask this question. When you start a business, you get away from the conventional job where there's a steady income stream. As you're building up a business, and maybe you guys went through this in year one, it's not always the case where the income just keeps piling and increasing. You have those ebbs and flows in the early stages. How would you suggest that a business owner out there getting started prepare and deal with that influx and we'll call it deflux of income over that first year or five, as the case may be?
Joel, you want to take that one?
You never have enough money. That's first bottom line answer for anything. Spend as little money as possible. There's rules of thumb out there about making sure you have 3 months ahead, 6 months ahead, whatever the current conventional wisdom is. The answer for me has always been, when you see that there's time right for a business, you need to just go ahead and do it and figure things out as things go along. There are There may be ways to plan that. I've never figured out a way to plan it other than the customers and the market lead you to where you need to be going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we first launched our first location, you know, I don't think we planned enough, you know, working capital to get us off the ground, you know, in the first few months. But that was just a learning curve. You know, that was something that we didn't expect going into it, but we had to learn. And we wouldn't have learned that unless we had just taken the step and just gone for it. So,
well, let's do this. Let's get back on topic with Renegade and the idea of Renegade concepts, things that are just against that conventional norm. What are some things that, some advice, some tips, some secrets maybe you could share with our listeners that might help them on their path of entrepreneurship that really you've learned through running and starting your businesses that are against some of those conventional norms that really you've had to be outside of the box a little bit versus what we might think in our normal day-to-day routines?
Well, first comment I would have is to be looked, I've always looked for things that irritate me in my life. Typically it starts with customer service, but my life professionally has been in the business consulting world, and there is a range of items there that bother a customer. And typically, if it bothers you as a customer, this is a good lead onto where this could possibly be a business. So first look around to things that bother you.
I like that.
Yeah, so I think for us, it was more look for the niche. You know, what we were trying to do was match a business opportunity with our unique skills and abilities and experiences. And so the choosing of a business partner was a big deal, you know, making sure you've got that right combination of folks that can really go and where you're like-minded, you've got the same goals. And so that's been a real key. The other thing for us is that we play in a space in the malls, in the kiosk and mall cart area that's very temporary. And one of the things, the challenges for us that we've had to get around is talking to folks about, to the question of, are you going to be here next week? And there's also just a very temporary nature to that whole business. I mean, if you've ever walked up to a mall kiosk, you're going to find jewelry, you're going to find stuffed animals, you're going to find cupcakes. I mean, all kinds of different things that come and go. Our concept is one that's here to stay, but yet we're playing in a space that's very temporary. So our goal in business is to really create that customer experience and to overcome, in many ways, that very temporary nature and to let people know that we're really here about building fans. We love Zag as a product. That's why we chose it as a business opportunity. But we are trying to help other people in their, you know, not just buy a product, but really fall in love with the company and with the concept as well.
Yeah, there's a real engagement factor there. I mean, when I think of this is not just true with kiosks, but even with retail stores. At a kiosk, when I walk up, I expect to see somebody sitting there texting, not really paying attention to me unless they clearly think I'm going to buy something. And then when I walk into a store, it's always the same, right? You walk in and somebody walks over and says, "Do you need any help?" And you know they don't want you to answer that question with yes. They're hoping you say, "No, I'm just browsing," so they can go on about their day.
Yep.
All right, well, good. Well, guys, let's do this. Let's give some contact information out one more time so that people can find out about how to get their cell phones repaired and how to get some great protection on their cellular devices. So, Joel, let me come back to you again. How can people find your stores? How can they find out information and maybe get their phone to you if it needs some help?
My name is Joel Quinn, and the business is Bob Knows Phones, Cell Phone Repair. The website is bobknowsphones.com, and we currently have two locations in Metro Atlanta, one in Buckhead on Peachtree Road and one in Conyers at the intersection of Highway 138 and Interstate 20. And there are four more shops opening soon, two in South Atlanta and two in North Atlanta.
All right, we'll look forward to that. Kevin Harrison, how do we go about getting a Zag Shield installed on our cellular devices?
Well, you can go to our Discover Mills location in Lawrenceville, Georgia. If you go through entry number 2, like Kevin said earlier, we're in between Neiman Marcus and Zales. And then our Cumberland Mall location, it's in Cumberland Mall. If you go straight through the main entrance and look up, we're right outside of Macy's. Our phone number for each location, for our Discover Mills location, it's 770-755-5324. And our Cumberland Mall location is 678-855-5324. And you can check out our products at www.zag.com.
Fantastic. Well, guys, I want to thank you all for being on the show today. I think there's some great information for our guests, not only on ways to protect and repair their cellular devices, but hopefully you guys took something really useful about building a business, being an entrepreneur, and how to create success in your own life. As always, I'm your host, Andy Lowe, here at Renegade Radio, brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. Tune in next time as we talk with business owners and entrepreneurs who are taking things to the next level by living outside of the proverbial box. Remember, opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. Until next time.